This is Scott Becker with the Becker Group Business Strategy Women's Leadership Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Stacey Ashley. Stacey has a wonderful reputation as a professional coach and a mentor to people. We're going to talk to Stacey about her best advice for people, how she got started, how she stays motivated, and more. Stacey, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Of course. Thanks so much for having me, Scott. My name's Stacey Ashley. I have a business called Ashley Coaching and Consulting, the company's been in existence for about 14 years now, which is very exciting. And that was born from, my career as a leader in really large corporate organisations. And so now I get to work with people from lots of great organizations and help them to be their best.
Fantastic. And so I'll cut right to the chase. You advise lots of executives, lots of people. What's your best advice for professionals or business owners? Do you have a couple single pieces or four pieces of advice for people?
That's such a big question, Scott. Let me just start with a couple of simple ones. I think that's probably my first thing is, sometimes we really get carried away with overcomplicating things, and simple's good. Simple is straightforward, and simple is a way of getting from where we are to where we need to be. And so sometimes I say step back and look at the simplest way to try and do what you're trying to do. That would be my first piece. And my second piece, I think, of advice is, in order for you to be successful, you need to get into your particular zone of genius, and so stick to your strengths. And if there are things that need to be done that are outside your strengths, find another way to get them done, whether it's a tool, a resource, or a person who's really great at that other thing that you need. So stick to your strengths and outsource the rest.
Great. And I love those two pieces of advice, that simplicity is underrated and so important. The more you make things simple, the better. And then I love the phrase, be in your own zone of genius. Let me ask you a follow-up question to that zone of genius question. You've got a client or a college student, and I know you don't necessarily work with college students, but all of us on the phone, many of us have those. How do you advise them to figure out their zone of genius so that they position themselves well, do things they'll be great at? How do you talk about that with clients of yours?
Look, it is different for everyone, Scott, but what I discovered a few years ago, and if it's okay, I'll tell a little story. I was working with a particular client, and he had been someone I was coaching, and he had been tasked by his CEO to participate in a project, and he couldn't understand why he had been chosen, because everybody else was more experienced, had a different set of expertise to him, and he didn't feel like, you know, he could compete with them in those particular spaces. And so I asked him three questions to help him figure out why would his CEO want him to be part of this really important project. And I should give you the background of the project. So it was an agricultural aid project actually in Indonesia. He was concerned because he didn't know anything about agriculture, and he had never been to Indonesia, and he'd never worked on an aid project, so he just didn't understand, what can I do? And so my three questions were, what do you know? So all of his expertise and experience. What do you love? So what did he enjoy doing? What did he get satisfaction from? And how could he contribute? So what was the difference that he could make in this particular circumstance? And in his case, he was able to identify those things really, really quickly, and it became so clear why he was part of that project, because he brought something that nobody else on the team did. And so I use those three questions often with my clients to help them, again, keep it simple about what do you know, what do you love, how can you contribute? And that helps people to at least start to figure out what their zone of genius might be.
I love that. So the three questions are, what do you know, what do you love doing, and what can you contribute? So I love that. And then with him, did he ever ask his boss why he put him on the project. Did he ever have that discussion, or he really didn't? He really thought through this in this way.
We did a lot of thinking together, and he identified a number of things that he was able to do and to bring. And in his case, quite funny, really, because he said, well, I've got a PhD in systems innovation. That was the first thing he said when I asked him, what do you know? So he clearly knew a lot. And what he was really great at was bringing a group of really diverse expertise and experience, people with really diverse experience, together to form a really high-performing team. That was his zone of genius. And so once he figured that out, he did actually go and have that conversation with the CEO and said, am I on the right track? Is this what you are actually looking for from me? And that was confirmed. And in fact, once he started to go through that sort of process and he really made a great difference in this particular project, then in that innovation space, he was asked to participate in this global awards judging process that was run by the US State Department. So that was pretty exciting. So all of a sudden, he was in his zone of genius and he was getting all these amazing opportunities.
Fascinating. Let me flip to a couple of questions about your professional career. How did you get started in your business? You said you started this 14 years ago. How did you get started? Was it hard to get started? How long did it take to get to a spot where you expected to be, where you could pay the bills or succeed how you wanted to succeed? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, of course. So as I said, my history is working in large corporate organizations and often in just quite big leadership roles. And I got to a point in my career where I felt like, you know, I was doing great things with my team and I was influencing the rest of the business, but I felt like I could play a bigger game by working across a lot more organizations and helping a lot more leaders, you know, be their best and offer what they had on a bigger scale. And so I was quite deliberate in going, well, I'm going to actually now work for myself. I'm going to set up a company that's focused on this. But it did take me a little while to kind of crystallize that idea. And so to begin with, I started my company, but primarily I sort of subcontracted through other organizations and sort of became their expert or that they would roll into certain projects. And at the time I had a young family, so that worked quite well. And then after 3 or 4 years, I started to actually be much more proactive in building the brand of the business and building my network, which, you know, I had let go a little bit while I had young children. And I think that was a lesson that I learned, is that you really need to nurture your network because it's invaluable in terms of information and resourcing and finding out about who to talk to and all of those sorts of things. And then I enhanced my own education. So I got some more qualifications in the spaces that I wanted to be working in, which was about credibility, but also about being really confident that I could deliver what I wanted to be able to. And then, you know, the business ramped up from there. So I would say the first 3 or 4 years, I wasn't committed to working full time or anything. As I said, I had young children. And so it was after that that really the business started to bloom. And in more recent years, we've received a lot of awards and recognition for the work that we've done. And we've started to branch outside of Australia, which is really exciting. And we've tried to move with the time. So a lot of our offerings are also online now, which gives us obviously a global audience that we can serve, which is fantastic. Yeah, here we are. And we're doing podcasts that go globally as well.
That's fantastic. Well, congratulations. And I love that story of sort of, one, I love this concept of zone of genius and keeping it simple. And then I love this sort of evolution you did of sort of part-time dipping your toes into it, which is not always the great way to start a business, but sort of ramping up and taking sort of help from different people and sort of doing some of a subcontract and then growing full-time into this and building an international reputation. So just a fascinating story, Stacey. Let me ask you another question. You've now been at it in your own business for 14 years. How do you keep yourself motivated day to day? How do you keep yourself excited about it?
I think a part of it, Scott, for me is that part of what I do is exactly that, is to help others figure out how do they stay motivated? How do they stay on purpose? How do they stay in their zone of genius? And so, you know, I as much as possible, try to, you know, practice what I preach, which is you know, to be asking myself questions about, you know, what's the most important thing that I need to do today that's actually going to move me, you know, towards the things that I'm aiming to do, the work that I want to continue to offer and to serve and to support people. And so that's part of it. The other part is almost every day I hear a great story or some kind of an achievement or a learning from one of the people that I work with. And that's incredibly not just satisfying, and I just, you know, I get goosebumps from some of the stories that people tell me about what they've managed to accomplish or overcome. But it's also, it's so inspiring. And so for me, staying motivated is not a challenge because I have that, you know, from people all around me all the time.
No, I think that's magnificent. And is a typical engagement long-term with somebody, short-term with somebody? Is it acute for a specific issue, or is it long-term sort of professional guidance and coaching?
Most of the people and organizations that I work with are probably at least six months, I guess, is what I would aim for, because we're trying to create some kind of sustainable change. So we do in the business a number of things. And for me personally, when I'm working one-on-one, typically I'm working with leaders who are leading some kind of a change, whether it be for themselves, their team, or their organization. And so change takes time. And so we work together, you know, over a period of time. It's at least 6 months. It could be 3 years. It just depends on what they're actually trying to achieve. And then the other piece that I'm really focused on is actually equipping other leaders with the ability to coach the people around them. And so that's about them learning new skills, trying those skills out, refining them, getting some feedback, and so on and so on. And again, that takes time to actually embed learning and put it into practice every day in their roles as leaders. So again, typically longer periods of time. And also often about taking an organization on a journey of change where we're uplifting the level of leadership. And so, you know, we need to give people, those leaders, the opportunity to apply their learning and then refine and continue, you know, to learn and grow themselves and then take that out to the rest of their organization. So, yeah, mostly longer term. Occasionally we do some short term stuff, but I think for me, I don't like going into an organization and doing, you know, a half day workshop and then going, see you later, and hope that it works. I would much prefer to work with organizations and people who are really committed to seeing the change through, or the outcome that's really important to them. And that, again, takes time. So, you know, let's both commit and make sure we get a really amazing outcome.
Well, no, and that's great. And you're a delightful person to talk to. And here's a question. Is the typical client a company today, or is it an individual that hires you? What's the typical sort of customer or client or person that you're guiding?
So typically it is we work with organizations, mostly large organizations. So whether they're commercial or say federal government, but they're large organizations. Now they may come to me because they've got some individuals who they want to grow and develop, or it may be that they're actually, you know, trying to create some kind of a shift in their whole leadership. And so, you know, we'll work strategically to figure out what that shift looks like and how to make it happen. So mostly it's corporates, but I do occasionally get individuals who are very, very keen and committed to their own learning and development. And so then they'll say, yeah, I'm going to invest in myself. And that's fantastic to see, because not all organisations will invest in their people at the right level. But, you know, it's encouraging that more and more organisations are aware of how important it is to grow and develop their people. And so we'll do whatever we can to foster that and nurture that and make sure that they get the outcomes that they need to make that investment worthwhile.
Thank you. I love a lot of your advice. I love all of it. I love the concept of keeping it simple. I love really focusing on your strengths and your zone of genius. I love the concept of thinking about what do you know, what do you love, what can you contribute? Just great thoughts that are easy for people to sort of grasp onto. Two more questions, and then, Stacey, I'll let you go today. Two more questions. Mm-hmm. Have you faced any setbacks, and how did you recover from them? And then, you know, coming back around, your single best advice, piece of advice for people, and you might have already provided in an earlier question, but so first, mm-hmm. any setbacks, and how did you recover?
I think setbacks are just they're just a part of life, aren't they? But I would say most recently, a big setback I had is I actually had a health challenge. Nothing that, you know, was threatening my life or anything, but it was making my life really difficult. So I was finding it really challenging to walk, actually, and it was very painful. And what that meant was that I was putting a lot of time and energy into my health. And as a consequence, the company and you know, my personal didn't get as much attention as it had previously. And so, as you would expect, that did show up in the fact that we weren't winning as much new business and those sorts of things, which was not necessarily that we were doing anything wrong. It's just that the focus was in a different place. And so I would say that the setback there is we didn't have the same level of incoming business, and we weren't as visible. I think that's probably a big thing. I'm very, very visible on lots of social platforms and that sort of thing, and that just kind of disappeared because I was focused inward instead of outward. And so how did we recover? Well, I had surgery, and so as of last quarter of last year, I was back on deck. And so really the focus over the last 6 months or so has been about, you know, ramping up the business, ramping up my visibility. And how have we done that? We've really just gone back to basics. You know, what are the things that we do really, that I personally do well? So what's my zone of genius? That's what I need to focus on. And that's about being visible. It's about, you know, offering really quick, practical opportunities for people to learn and grow and putting them out on platforms like LinkedIn and that sort of thing, so that people know what I do and they can tap into it really easily and get lots of value from it. And then when the time is right, they'll come and talk to me. Other things that I did is I published my book. Again, that's about authority and visibility. And sharing my knowledge, you know, I want to put this information into as many hands as possible. And so the setback, it wasn't great and it was challenging, but now it's back to basics. What do I do well? And focusing on that and making sure that I outsource those things that need to happen but are not my zone of genius, so that we can, you know, really be working with as many organisations as possible to help and support them and the people within them. And then in terms of my single best piece of advice, that's such a tough question. I think it's probably a combination of what I have already said, Scott. So keep it simple, I think is important. Stick to your strengths and your zone of genius. And I think there's three pieces of advice, but they kind of all go together. And the one that for me has been so important to my success is to have the right people in your network that can support you and challenge you and encourage you and connect you with other people who will be incredibly valuable as well, so that you can offer and serve them, but equally you can, you know, source information and introductions and those sorts of things as well.
Well, that's fantastic, Stacey. It's a remarkable journey you've taken from sort of corporate coaching internally to building your own business and watching it evolve. It's amazing how you've built your network and how you yourself, when you struggle, come back to your core pieces of advice, which is keeping it simple and be and live in your zone of genius. So, Stacey, just a great pleasure to be with you today, and thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much, Scott. I really enjoyed talking to you.
And, Stacey, let me just ask one last question. How do people reach you?
How do people reach me? Lots of different ways, but LinkedIn is probably one of the simplest and easiest. So I'm Stacey Ashley on LinkedIn and obviously the websites as well, ashleycoaching.com.au, and my personal website, stacyashley.com.
Great. Thank you so much, Stacey. It was a great pleasure visiting with you today, and thank you.
My pleasure as well, Scott. Thank you.